And now, the Goldbergs. And now, the Goldbergs. The battle lines in Lastonbury are drawn, and Molly's hat is in the ring. Aided and abetted by Dr. Cater, the psychologist who helped Sammy so much, Molly's trying to arrange the wedding of Mr. Allison and Esther Miller. Allison and Esther have decided that they can't marry because of Allison's daughter, Toby. But Molly has talked to Mrs. Bloom to see if a reverend can come up to Lastonbury and surprise, browbeat, or perhaps force Allison and Esther to find the happiness they both so deserve. Molly and Jake are hurrying home now.
Listen. Walk faster, Jay, darling. Walk a little faster. I want to catch up to Sammy and Dr. Cater and tell him what Mrs. Bloom said.
I can't run, Molly. Walk and you'll get there, too. Remember the story of the snail and the rabbit.
But I want to get home before Mrs. Bloom calls me back.
He's got to call you back yet?
Of course he's got to call me back, Jay, darling, because he's going to go over to the reverend's house to see when he can come up to perform the ceremony. After all, he's a busy man, and this is not around the corner. Look out, Jake, a car. Look out, dear. Hello, Mrs. Humphrey. She didn't tell me. Mrs. Humphrey, she's going all around collecting pots and pans and aluminum. I'm also on the committee, Jake.
So get busy already and do something if you're on the committee?
As soon as everything is over with Allison.
How can it be over if you keep prolonging it?
Yeah. Can I let two people after 15 years just separate? Would your conscience allow it?
Mr. Allison's private life would never be on my conscience, Molly. I assure you.
Sir, on mine it would.
Well, you're more sensitive than I am, maybe.
No, I have a guilty feeling, Jay.
Why should you have a guilty feeling, Molly?
Because I'm happy.
That's your privilege.
I know, Jay, but I'm too happy.
Why?
Because of Sammy, Jake. I don't know, a cold shadow comes over me when I think how near Sammy will be to disaster if Sammy marries Sylvia. After all, this is a greater escape, Jake, than if Sammy was in a prison with walls and chains.
I know.
Well, that's why I'm happy.
But why are you guilty?
Because I have a feeling that my happiness has a little to do with their unhappiness.
That's how the world is, Molly.
I don't think so, Jake. Family, would you stop a minute for us, please, dear? I'll tell you.
Walk slowly, Molly. You'll get there.
All right, here, come. I'm walking slowly. Yes, Dr. Cater. I wanted to catch up to you. Excuse me, Cater. Oh, I'm not so young.
You better rest.
I'm going to catch myself. So, Dr. Cater, I spoke to my friend, Mrs. Bloom, on the telephone. And she said that she will go directly to see the reverend to see when he can come up here to Lastonbury to do the marriage. But I want to get back to my house before she calls me back again.
You will, Mom.
Yeah, but let us not stop a minute now. Let us walk straighter.
And you think, Dr. Cater, this is the right thing to do? I mean, without consulting the two partners that are concerned?
I say it's the proper thing to try. Here's a man and woman deeply in love. They've proved it through 15 years of life apart because of Mr. Allison's daughter, Sylvia. Why shouldn't they get married?
Very well. I just want to understand how you figure to accomplish your plan. That's all. Tell us who.
We're going to make it so easy, so simple, so ordinary that they'll get married before they know it. They want to.
Well, if that's psychology, Dr. Cater, then I am unpsychological.
Wait, is that Sylvia walking down the road?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, mine.
What's the old mine? Let her walk. Let us see her.
Oh, please. You all walk out of the house. I'll meet her.
All right. Then we can take the shortcut.
Why should I take a shortcut?
Oh, please.
Not at all. I'm not detouring for Sylvia or anybody else.
Hello, Sylvia. All alone?
Yes, all alone.
And who is to blame for that?
Jake, dear, I'm in a hurry.
So am I.
Are you coming, Sammy?
I understand Miss Miller is leaving, Sylvia. Do you know that?
Jay, dear. I'll get you close to Dr. Cater.
All right,
and,
thank you.
You will be coming closer to the house?
In just a little bit.
Thank you very much, Jay.
I'm walking back to my house. Do you mind if I walk along with you, Sylvia?
No. They're all very smart and superior, aren't they?
Who?
The Goldbergs.
Well, you're not exactly the most likable person I know, Sylvia.
That's not my fault.
Of course not. Where were you going?
Nowhere. I have no place to go.
That's right, isn't it? I have no place to go, nothing to do, no one to love.
I have you.
That's true, I forgot. You're in love with me.
I know you don't care for me. No one does. But I can love whom I wish. No one can stop me.
Why don't you let your father have the same privilege?
Esther Miller's just a leech trying to fasten on to an easy living. She's tired of working.
What a strange world you live in, Sylvia. Have you ever stopped considering?
Oh, please stop talking that way to me.
Why should I? Let's walk over and sit down under that elm there and just take it easy. Well, that's nice. Quiet and peaceful. The proper atmosphere.
For what?
To talk about this world of yours. Did you ever take a straight stick and put it in water, Sylvia?
What's that got to
do? Did you?
Yes, just a...
It looks bent. The stick looks as if it bent the moment it touched the water, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's an optical illusion. What's wrong with you, Sylvia, is that you live in a psychological illusion. All the straight and simple things in the world, all the things that most people see the way they really are bent the moment you think of them. You think the change is real. And there's a reason.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true, and there's a reason, Sylvia. Do you mind if I put my arm around your waist?
No.
It's much pleasanter and intimate that way. If anyone passes and sees us, I'll lose my reputation. Now, I've been thinking, wondering, dreaming. What could the reason be? What do you want to twist every straight and simple thing into an unrecognizable shape?
Love changes things.
But you misinterpret other people besides me, and other motives besides your own. That must be something deeper. You say you love me. Tell me why.
Because I do.
Wouldn't you like to help me?
Yes.
Now, suppose I... Suppose something happened to me. Would you devote your life to me?
Yes.
Would you sacrifice everything in the world for me? Your life, perhaps?
Yes.
Would you do it for your father? I suppose you had to, I mean. Suppose the occasion arose. Would you?
Only for him. Not for that woman.
Would you do the same for Fanny?
Yes.
But you can't, can you? You can't because I can stand alone. Fanny has himself and his family. And your father loves this woman. Isn't that right?
I suppose so.
And aren't you trying to twist our normal lives, mine, your father's, and before us, Sammy's, into some shape, make them unhappy, broken, so you could help them? That's the secret, Sylvia. Here are the three people you love most. You have nothing to offer. You stand there with your hands outspread and no one offers to take the devotion you have to offer.
Why? Why don't they? Why don't you?
Because you expect a lifetime of payment for one moment of sacrifice.
And it's with profound pity that Dr. Cater looks at the bowed head of Sylvia Allison, standing there before him, abject and humiliated.
Ask for does today. Does today. Does today. And be sure to listen to the next episode of The Goldberg. This is James Fleming saying goodbye for the makers of does, the new kind of granulated soap for all three kinds of wash.